Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
So we're going to be in Acts 19, starting with verse 1, all the way down to verse 22. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" "No," they told him, "we hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit." "Into what then were you baptized?" he asked them. "Into John's baptism," they replied. So Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him. That is Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other tongues and to prophesy. Now there were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading with them about the kingdom of God. But when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hand. This is kind of the focus of where we're going to be at today. God was performing extraordinary miracles through Paul's hands, so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skins were brought back to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." Seven sons of Sceva. Well, hang on, what did we say? What did we? Do you remember, Al, what we decided on that one?
No, Colin gave it to
you. All right, I think Sceva is what we came down on. A Jewish high priest. So seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this, meaning doing the, we're going to claim this in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. The evil spirit answered them, "I know Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. And when this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone. So they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. Before we start a discussion on this, let's pray. God, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us through this text. God, we pray that we would not be afraid of the power that comes from you. In your name we pray, amen. So, as we do each Sunday, before I tell you, you know, what I've gotten out of this, I want to open it up, either online via chat or here in this room. What do you notice? What do you see in this scripture? Yeah, there was a lot of spiritual opposition for sure.
Yes, absolutely. The spiritual opposition, you know, you read throughout the Gospels and Acts how much evil spirits have influenced, you know, people. And these days, you know, you almost never hear about any of that nowadays. It's something that, and yet they obviously are just as prevalent in these days as they were in those days. So being spiritually, you know, spiritual discernment is certainly something we need to sharpen the axe.
Yeah, so there's a lot there in what Tom just said. And so let me just unpack that for half a second. Sorry about that. I'm trying to do something very quickly, so pardon me for 1 second as we try to boost our volume online. We've had a request for that. So part of what Tom just said, and Tom, I may have to... I had two things going in my brain at one time, so I apologize if I completely miss it. Feel free to say, hey, you missed a big part of what I just said. But say it again for me. I apologize.
what you observe throughout the Gospels and throughout Acts...
Yep, come back to
that, me. You know, the influence of evil spirits seem to be fairly right. prevalent. And these days, you almost never
right.
hear about their influence on what's going on.
Okay, yes. Thank you so much. Sorry about that. And that actually was something that we talked a good bit about on Thursday. So what Tom said was one of the things that you see not just here, but really starting in Genesis and going throughout is this influence, this spiritual oppression, demonic, whatever influence that occurs throughout Scripture. But we also see a greater power, right, that occurs as well. And they clash right here. We see them right here. And why don't we see that as much present day? And that is a good question. Maybe hiding.
Maybe we don't recognize.
May not be a rec. There may be some lack of recognition in it. I have some thoughts on that. Well, we will come back to that. For sure. What else?
What stood out to me was the miracles that Paul was doing, and it just seems that not always, but whenever God is really moving, that there always seems to be people working. So to be aware of that.
There's a, yep.
But also, though, it sounds, if I understand it correctly, it seems as a lot of those who were doing practices that were not godly afraid
of what
happens, and then turn,
you know, turn to
God,
and
they, what I understand is that those who
have practiced
magical arts probably
looks
burned them in
the
sight of all, and they can praise God. So,
yeah, yeah, right.
So,
Angie was saying, like, one of the things that stood out to her was how even those who practiced the evil things were afraid, especially after they heard about what happened with these seven sons. And we're going to actually talk. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. Observations? So I'm having to hold myself back a bit.
So I could pick back on Angie's comment a little bit in that then you look at the response of those people and they respond in repentance and change their lives, whereas the response of the Jewish exorcist was to try to leverage it to their advantage, was to leverage Jesus to their advantage. So you've got the response to Jesus that differs, that I guess maybe it's more application-based, that we have to choose how we're going to respond to Jesus too.
That's right. So one of the things that Colin said was that that there was just kind of this interesting idea that these people who maybe did not even believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but knew something was going on, right? They knew there was something. They tried to invoke that. Were not very successful. In fact, the exact opposite. I was never much of a fighter. I didn't enjoy fights. Tried to avoid them as much as I could. I did, however, see a few. In fact, Jude was telling me he's now in middle school. A couple of weeks ago, it may have involved my mentee. They had a fight in the hallway. Kid got his shoulder dislocated. Yeah, so that's a bad fight, right? I saw some where people bled. You know what I never saw? I never saw anybody get so beat up they were naked when it was all said and done. So these guys got walloped. And so that really is this thing where we see these opposing forces kind of join up or kind of clash. So So we have that. So there's a lot of other stuff that is in here that we're going to unpack as briefly as we can and try to talk about how it applies to us. Is there anything else? Yes, sir. Right.
But they were in a very pagan culture.
Right.
Lots of gods, Artemis. And that was laced throughout the whole culture. It was how they did their agriculture, how they did everything, their education systems, everything. So it was so, we live in a culture that has been very much touched by Christianity and Judaism. They didn't. Maybe a little bit of Judaism, but this was Christianity was new. So I don't even think we have ourselves, unless we read what people have written and have really studied that, I don't think we have any idea how prevalent these evil practices were in that. Like, what was that festival they had, like Bacchanalia or something? Something like that. It was a big festival all the time, but they would, it involved killing people. It was so bad, but this was something that they did normally.
Right. So, so.
There's an undercurrent of just everything was, the devil was running the show, basically.
Yeah, so there was, when people say that, man, I have never seen things so bad in this world, right? If we jump back to biblical times, it's very interesting to me that we really try to fight a lot of political battles under the name of Jesus because we do it for good reasons, right? We do it because we want society to kind of function in a way that is less evil and shows more good. That's kind of, we want it to be safe. We want it to be, there's all these reasons why. But we feel like we have to control this thing when really the gospel flourished in an environment. Not because of the evil, but it wasn't. You get the sense that there was no fear of that, even though it existed. Right? Even though there was this undercurrent of evil that was happening, evil practices, magic, all these kind of things that were happening. Remember, we're just a couple chapters removed from the girl who was fortunate by an evil spirit that was in her, was telling the future, and her owners were making money from it, right? Paul got so annoyed because she was telling the truth about them, like, hey, these guys are men of the Most High. She's just falling around yelling that for a few days, and Paul got fed up with it and cast the evil spirit out of her. Now these guys realize their money's gone, so they start an uproar. So there's all these things that we see, and you don't get the sense that Paul, Peter, the elders, the church, like none of them were scared of that. And I think it's because they realized the truth of Scripture, the power that is in them was much greater than the power that was in the world. So we're going to actually talk about that. Power struggle is a big deal in this Scripture this morning because of what Ephesus was and where it was and what it meant. So, those are all great. Anything else before we dive in? All right. So, well, let's just do that then. One of the biggest things that we see happen in this scripture is two things one that I didn't see as much of, but as soon as someone said it, I was like, yeah, that's great. So, Colin brought up this closeness to God that we see in the scripture. Right, the people who were close and oriented themselves towards God did pretty well. The ones who didn't, that there was this, you can see it just in the seven sons of exorcist relationship, really, with God. It says they were itinerant exorcists. What does that mean? It means they went around exorcising demons for money. That's what that means. And they just thought, hey, we're seeing Paul or anyone else do it, who's using Jesus' name, do it much more effectively. So they thought that was the power that they needed. And they weren't wrong. They were just wrong in their approach to it because they thought all we got to do is use the name because that's all they're doing. What they didn't understand was there was a closeness in the relationship of the person who was using the name when it was effective that they did not have. The other thing that we see is a big power struggle, which was indicative of a city like Ephesus. If you remember last week, we talked about how Ephesus really was the gateway, kind of the crossroads between Asia and Europe at the time. Asia at the time and Europe. And it was kind of a major thoroughfare of trade routes. And so there was a lot of influence in this city. And with that influence came what? Power. And what we see is they relied on a lot of magical power, right? There were spiritual, there were, you know, there was other religions there, so there was a high, heightened spiritual sense in the community. When we say spiritual, sometimes, you know, if we just grow up in church, you just think spiritual has to do with Jesus. No, I just mean spiritual believing in something other than yourself to be in some bit of control. So there was a lot of religious kind of power going on. There was also economic power that existed and struggles that existed within this community. And then because of it, economic and political just existed because of who Ephesus was. Being a major kind of. And so there was this power. And this story, in my opinion, helps us to clarify that Jesus, the power of God, is bigger than all those powers. All those that we just named. In fact, they tested them. And they realize, like, oh, this isn't. But before we jump to all that, let's just jump to something very quickly that Tom said as we started. Why do we see so much of that in Scripture? And not so much now? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I do have some ideas. Because when you travel extensively throughout the world, especially into poorer places, and I have done that, you get to see how other cultures deal with all these things. And what I can tell you is that in a lot of other cultures that I've been to outside of Europe and the U.S., and excuse me, Europe and North America, and probably Russia didn't have this either. But in Africa, in the Middle East, in India, in China, in Central and South America, those are the places I've traveled a ton. You see there's a belief just across the board with the society, not just Christianity, but in the spiritual, in the power of the spiritual things happening, right? So there's this belief, even if they're not Christians, that, you know, witch doctors, they believe in, you know, when we were in Africa, there was a belief that these witch doctors could cure and could heal. And so people went. And so they had a strong belief in them. And as a result, like, things happened. All right? Like, we like to relegate any type of miraculous thing to only God. But if you remember, when Moses threw his stick down and turned into a snake, it wasn't just his stick that turned into a snake, right? The magicians of Egypt did the exact same thing. All right, what big deal? Watch this. How does that happen? Now, so we try to relegate it just to that, as if the forces of the world had zero power, right? There was a demon a few chapters earlier, I just mentioned, in a little girl who was giving her the ability to tell the fortune. And she must have been good at it because they were making money. Here's the deal. You can get away with fortune telling for just a little while if you don't know anything. But eventually, the future comes and people tell, like, oh, this person, forget it. So it must have been somewhat successful and true about what she was saying because they were making money. They were ticked. They ran Paul out on a rail of that town. It's also the way that a lot of, if you talk to missionaries who live in places like the Middle East and Africa, parts of Asia, South America, they'll tell you, like, there are supernatural things that happen that we cannot explain with science or anything else that happen by the hands of other people who don't believe in Jesus. But if you remember those stories, don't be discouraged by that fact. Because if you remember those stories, right, there was a point at which that power only went so far, right? They could throw their sticks down and they come into the snakes. They didn't part the Red Sea. They didn't bring on locusts. They didn't turn the water to blood, right? They didn't, the whole land didn't turn dark except for in Goshen where the Israelites were. Like, none of that happened. So there was a limit to that. So don't get discouraged if you hear that. I'm like, wow, what? Like, there was a limit, right? Remember the prophets of Baal on the mountain with Elijah? There was a limit to what they could do. They only had so much power. And then the power of Yahweh showed itself in fire. Fire that lapped up water. Fire that consumed rocks. Hot fire. So don't get discouraged in that. But just know that's that happens. And so this is just a hypothesis I have because of experiences I've experienced. I have seen more miraculous things happen by the hand of God in places where people already believed. There was already a level of faith that there was something out there that could help them. They didn't yet know it was God. They knew it was something. They had a belief. They were going to a shaman. They were going to a witch doctor. They were going to the clerics, whatever they were going to find it. They had a belief because they saw things supernaturally happen. What happens in Europe and in North America in about 1700s? Actually, a couple of hundred years before that. We hit the Age of Enlightenment and the Age of Reason, right? And then jump straight into the Industrial Revolution and leave everything else behind. And in those, we figured out, oh, we can explain everything through science and through reason and through thought. And so now when we see something, even those of us who are Christians, I mean, they're so ingrained in us that sometimes we're like, how did that happen? You know, what happened there? We want an answer. We want an explanation. We don't have the eyes of a child who believe. Like, this can really happen. But I tell you what, and this is one reason I try to do it. What I've found is the more I pray for something to happen, the stronger my belief grows that it will. Just a quick story that will resonate with probably about 80% of the folks in this room. The other 20, it won't, just because you didn't know this gentleman. But on that hot night in July, when Heather calls me and says, Josh has been in a car wreck just up the road from my house, and went up there and Josh had died. And James came by a little bit later. Me and Heather were still in a bit of shock. James came by and said, let's pray. And we prayed for God to heal him. He'd already been pronounced dead. And I'm just going to be completely bluntly honest. I felt a bit silly. Standing on the side of the road praying for this, for something that's already happened. But here's what if the story stops there, that's a sad story. But throughout that week, from Sunday to Thursday, we continued to pray for that. And what I can tell you, and I talked to James, I don't know if I ever talked to Heather about this. I know I talked to James. I think I talked to Heather too, but I don't want to throw her in this because I'm not 100% certain. But what I can tell you with 100% certainty is by the time I preached Josh's funeral, I was fully expecting Josh to show back up. Hear a knock on the cat. Like, that's what happened over 5 days of earnestly praying for something that really at the beginning of it I felt silly doing. My buddy Gabe keeps a prayer journal. And one day I was just making a joke because we've been friends for, nearly 40 years. So I can rib him a little bit. And I was like, man, why do you write that down in a journal? You can't remember? No, I knew why he wrote it down. I was just teasing him. But what he told me was he had this system and he would have these little markings or colors that he would highlight And he would ask people every time he saw them, you know, about this prayer request. And he said, when I do that, when I write it down and I ask people about it and I continually pray, like my faith grows stronger. He said, I develop an expectation that I'm going to hear that it was answered. And so we have this thing that just ingrained in us for, you know, for 500 years almost. This age of reason, we have to have an explanation for it. And in places where that hadn't set in as deeply, we don't. And I just kind of wonder if that is why we see more miraculous happen there. Not that it doesn't happen here. It absolutely does. I'm just wondering if that's why it happens more frequently. I don't know the answer to that question. That's just a thought I have. But Tom is true. We don't see it as much. Is it that it doesn't happen? Is it that they're hiding? Is it that it was that, Angie, you said that they were, that we don't recognize it, we don't acknowledge it? I don't know. Tom.
Something that's going on now is like this school shooter. Mm-hmm. Goes in there and shoots up a bunch of kids. And you say, oh, how did this happen? Oh, he must have been mistreated as a kid. His parents spanked him when he was a kid. So now he's, you know, goes on his bin. Something like that. You know, I attribute that to the spiritual evil spirit. He's possessed. He went in there and killed a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You know, but that's never a positive forward.
Because we got to have a reason.
Yeah, got to have a reason.
Because
he had a bad childhood.
Because spiritual doesn't you would just be blown off as crazy at that point, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that has something to do with it, that our societally a belief. But let that not seep so far into our brains that we feel like God can't do it, right? Let it not seep so far in our brains that we feel like it can't. And if you get to that point where you feel like, and hopefully I'm not the only one, but I'm just being really transparent. Like, you know, I was praying on the side of the road that day and I was like, this ain't going to happen. But I tell you, over 5 days of praying, that changed. So what I would say is use my story as aid that if, you feel that bit of silliness or you feel that bit of doubt as you're praying, okay, keep praying it. Let the Holy Spirit, let God be true and every man a liar. What does it tell us in Romans 12? That we will be transformed, that God will renew our minds and that we will be changed. And I can tell you, I was changed over 5 days. So, have that for what it was, but there was this power thing. And so let me read to you how this word translates, okay? Because I think it helps us a little bit more if we understand this. And I don't do a whole lot, and I'm not even going to read the Greek. But let me go to verse 20 in this way. Okay, so just remember what happened. Starts out with God's hand working powerfully through Paul. Interesting thing is, just as a side note before I get into this point, just something to think about. They said they took his aprons or work clothes, right? His handkerchiefs and his, like you can imagine, the man's just sitting there working, he wipes sweat, puts it down, keeps going. They're taking it and saying, hey, is this, it doesn't even seem like this is like, it's hard for us to put that into context because what we see on TV is, you know, whoever selling prayer cloths for $100, if you donate to my ministry, you'll get this prayer cloth. You know, you don't get the sense that Paul was like praying over these and they're sending them out. You kind of get the sense that he was just doing his work and that God was working through him. Think backwards, you know, about 15 chapters of Peter just walking on the street. But what was happening with the shadow? Healing people, right? It had zero to do with what Peter was doing. Peter's just walking down the street. It had zero to do with what Paul was doing. He was just working. And yet they were taken and the power of God was working through him. But, verse 20, in this way, the word of the Lord. So where we're at, we have that with Paul. We got the story of the seven sons of Sceva. We're going to unpack that in just 1 second really quickly. And then we have this story about the people having this conviction. Once they hear about this, they turn their lives around, or at least they're burning their magic books, because they realize that maybe they just realize there's a greater power, but they don't yet believe. And we don't know all the story, but we do know people were scared when they heard this story about the seven sons of Sceva. That there were some hearts changed, and that people burned books, and that it was worth a lot of money. Al, what was the figure that you said you looked up? Like 1.2 billion, I mean million or something like that?
5 to 50 million
in today's dollars. That's a lot of money. For me, anyway. I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot of money for me. Either way, whatever the exact amount is, I take the low end of that, just to be honest with you. But whatever the exact amount is, they would, you know, it was a lot of money. And so we have that. And then we have this line here. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. Another way to translate that would be the word of the Lord grew strong. The word of the Lord grew and was strong in accordance with the power of the Lord. And that word flourished can be translated power. It grew and was strong in the power of the Lord. Now, like a lot of other languages, we add a lot more words to very few. So there's a couple of words that come out of that word. But here's a way that we could, if we translate that exact same word in the exact same way, listen to how it sounds in other verses that you likely know. Ephesians 1:19, that you may know the surpassing greatness of his energy that is upon us who believe according to the working of strength of his power. Power of God. May God grant you in accordance with the riches of his glory that you may be strengthened with all energy through his spirit. And in chapter 3, to him who has the capability to do far more than we can abundantly do, far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power that is a working in us. Be power in the Lord and strength, and excuse me, in verse 6, be energetic in the Lord and in the strength of his power. All these are the exact same word, just translated as power. There's this idea that there's a couple ways you can translate words, and that just happens, and we pick ones that kind of fit best with our language to kind of gain all the right understanding. But sometimes we get some things a little bit diminished, and like this really is, Paul is doubling down. So all those were from the book of Ephesus. And this is happening in Ephesus, right? So this is this church. And there's this idea of this power of God. There was power struggles and powerful forces that were happening all over. We believe, named them at the beginning. They were political. They were financial. They were spiritual, right? There was this magical power. I don't think it's any surprise that Paul uses this word over and over and over and over to the Ephesians because they understand power. And here is a story where the power of God confronts the power they have. So let's go to the seven sons of Sceva or Sceva, however you pronounce it. Feel free. Because I never met him. I didn't get a chance to ask his name. Here's these guys who hear about God, who hear about Jesus. They hear that in the name of Jesus, things happen. Now, they're itinerant exorcists, which means they make some money doing exorcisms, right? They travel around exorcising demons and putting some coin in their pocket. Maybe it wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be, and they thought, hey, if we could add one more tool to our belt, we could make a little more money. I don't know. What we do know is that they heard about the power that came from using the name of Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. And so here they try to, of the Jesus that Paul preaches. Just to be fully transparent, I've never seen an exorcism. I did see the exorcists, though, and there was some talking back of the person and the priest in that movie. I don't know if that really happens in real life. But I'll be honest with you. I'll be cool if I go to heaven having never experienced that. But if God wants to do it, I want to be open to anything God wants to do. So I don't want to put barriers up in what God will do through my life. So I'll accept it, but it looks freaky and I'd prefer to stay away from it, be quite honest. But Nonetheless, we're not going to be scared about it because the power that's in us is greater than the power that's in the world. Here's the problem. The sons of Sceva did not have the power of God in them. So the power that was in them was not greater than the power that was in the world. In fact, the demon talks to him and says, "We know Jesus. And we've heard of Paul. We don't have a clue who you are." They beat the dude up. Just, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I have never seen a fight. I mean, I saw a guy get his ear bit in a fight back in the late 90s on national TV. I paid $50 to watch that. He didn't leave the ring naked. I've never seen that. They just got by one guy. Because there was power in that. But they didn't have the power of God. They tried to hijack the power of God. They tried to co-opt the power of God. They tried to use God like he was a big stick and said, "Hey, we're just going to pick up this stick and hit you with it, and it's going to work." And that demon wasn't having any of it. He's like, you have zero power. You have zero authority. Now, go backwards to Jesus and the demon that he encounters, one of them, and there's a herd of pigs. Jesus has a discussion with these demons. "Hey, would you mind just sending us in these pigs, not casting us away?" Jesus said, "Okay, go in those pigs." But he was, like, they very much, you can tell by that conversation, they very much knew, like, whatever he decided was going to be true, so they're asking permission. There's no asking permission to this guy. He had zero power. Paul, on the other hand, when it comes to, like, we know about him. We know that he's close to God. That's when it comes to that closeness thing, right? Because we see a story at the end of this where people are wanting to be closer to God. They hear about this story. They said, "Oh, we missed the mark on something," right? And when this became known, verse 17, when this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. No more blaspheming that name, right? They're like, "We can't do that. I don't want this story told about me." And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices. So now they become believers and said, "Hey, we just want to be honest about this." So they came and confessed it. They disclosed it. And many of those who had practiced magic took the books and burned them. And it was a lot. And it says that the power of God flourished in this area. Now, here's what we're going to do, Angie, Willie, Heather. I'm going to do a quick application, and we're going to just do the two songs at the end, okay? So application. I would love to stop for a second here if anybody has any. I got one. Okay? But if you have any ways that, hey, what do we do with this scripture? We know this to be true. What do we do with it?
I'd say be defined by your relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, ask the disciples, "Tell me, who do you think I am?" He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." The reason why Paul is recognized here is because he's attached to Jesus. Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize because he's attached to you. I don't know who these jokers are. So
that's good. If you're joining us, online, and you may just be catching this on the podcast because I think we may have an internet issue in the building at the moment. But if you are joining us online and didn't hear Colin, what Colin just said was that one of the things that came from him was this idea of closeness to Jesus. When it talks about this, the demon even mentions, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul," because he's connected to Jesus. And Colin brought up John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Now, he just said that. I can't ever say that without saying the rest of it. "If you remain in me, I'll remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so Jesus talks about this closeness with him. You can do anything if you're attached to me, and apart from me, you can do nothing. And Colin brought up that relationship in this, that there was this closeness to God. And in that closeness to God came the power. This was great. All right. Yes, Sue.
I think one thing that God will protect you as you are in this world. I remember one time when I was talking to a gentleman. I did not know him. We were working in the proximity, and I was talking to him about the things of God, and his response to me was to push back kind of hard. And so I thought, well, I can push back a little bit too. But then, right then, God, it seemed like a ticker tape in front of my mind. He said, you were talking to a devil spirit. I mean, that was just in my head. And then I knew it. You know, I knew that there's no point in having this conversation because you're just going to get tied up in this stuff. So I just walked away from the conversation. But I think God just really protects us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Scripture talks about that, but that God does protect us. There's no reason to fear these things, right? Because God, you know. And you, that's why we started out by saying you don't ever get the sense that the church or Paul or Peter or any of them were ever scared of a. You don't get the sense that when that service is there, like, oh, my goodness, what do we do? And it's just like, hey, get out of here. And they were gone. Like, Paul wasn't scared of that slave girl who kept following him. He just got annoyed with her and finally said, all right, get out. And it was obedient. So, yeah, God will certainly protect us. There's no reason for fear.
I think maybe there's a theme there that if you head out to do anything for your recognition or for your benefit, for the glory of God, then you will fall.
Ah, that's good, Tom. Thank you. What Tom said was the theme in that is if you do anything for your glory, like the seven sons of Sheba may have been doing, instead of for God's, that... Because that is interesting. In this story, you see a picture or an illusion. We don't get the full story, but of Paul just doing his work and the power of God just working so mightily in him that even the clothes that touched him were healing people versus these seven sons of Sheba who were really working to get this notoriety and get this thing. And it's what happened. And Paul wasn't even trying. Like, it was just his closeness to God, and it was God being revealed in revealing himself through these ways. And Paul wasn't looking for any glory, and these seven sons of Sheba couldn't. That's great, Tom. Thank you. Anything else? I think for me, it's challenging in two ways. One way is that closeness to God. Because you do get the sense in Scripture that God works miraculously through those who are close to him. And I want that, not just to see something miraculous happen. I just don't want to be a person who's so far away from God that they couldn't. If God chooses to do it or not, that's fine, whatever. But I just don't want to be a person, I don't want to be like the seven sons of Sheba where I'm praying for something and then, you know, that happens, right? So that's one thing. The other thing that I get from the Scripture is just a reminder that God is powerful. That there is power in the name of Jesus, and that God, and there's power in who and what God is. And sometimes I feel like, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I cannot speak for anybody else in this room, I sometimes feel like I don't recognize or believe all the time in the full power of what God can do, just because my brain can't comprehend it. So instead of leaning on the truth of Scripture that tells us no mind can understand or comprehend the things that God has in store, I'll sometimes just like go down that road of like, I can't understand it, so it's just easier for me to ignore it. And I don't want to ignore it. I want to see the power of God revealed. I want to see the kingdom of God change lives in our community. I want to see the power of God heal people, not for that person's healing's sake, but so that God would be revealed to those who don't yet believe him. Just like the blind man. And the disciple says, why was this guy blind, born blind? He sinned, or his mom and dad sinned? Jesus said, nobody. This guy was born blind so the power of God could be revealed. So watch this. That's what I want. So we're going to pray. We're going to say a Nicene Creed together. We're going to sing a couple of songs. During that time, the communion's up front. May we be people who believe and trust and know in the power of God and what it can do, not only for us, but for those in our community. Because that is who needs to see it, those who don't yet know Jesus. So let's pray. God, thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity to come together, that we can talk about it together. We can kind of struggle through some of the things that don't make sense together without fear that you're going to, like, you're okay with that. And God, may we be realize that you're okay with that, and that you will reveal yourself to us more and more daily. God, we love you. We ask that you would let each of us grow in faith, that we may trust and know and understand your power. Maybe not understand it, that may be a bad word, but at least experience it and know it to be true. And God, this morning we prayed for people in our community, in our church family, and we pray that, we just ask again that your power would be revealed and that healing would take place. We love you, God, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.